I'm very happy to be here to see old friends and some strange faces, but nevertheless, I trust are also friends. Let me tell you how I came to be here. I spoke to your friend here, my friend, Joey, in SIA. And he said to me, better come, because this probably is my last year in London, and you have the River Thames flowing in front of the house, come along. And when I told my daughters, they said, "Bah, you better go. Don't stay in the house and feel sad." So I am here by God's appointment. So I greet you all in the blessed name of Him who came and gave Himself for us. Him who alone saves and alone directs our future into the everlasting pathway. Now I was thinking what to say to all of you. And I thought and I prayed, and it is on my heart to speak to you about heaven. Now, what do we know about heaven? I think all of us will agree we know very little about heaven. And what's more, not only do we know little, but we are little concerned about heaven until death stares us in the face, then we begin to think seriously. But it's better we think about heaven, and to help us think of heaven as home. Can you do that, please? Just switch wavelength. Think of heaven as home. Then you say, with no place like home, no place like heaven. For if you know the reality and the beauty and wonders of heaven, I think you will live a very different life. You agree to that? Oh yes, dear friends. The problem is, this world is so demanding, so exciting in some ways, even attractive, although we live in a sin-cursed world. So we get lost in this world, thinking all the time how to progress, advance, and get something more out of this world. My dear friends, let us this morning think of heaven as home and what God has to say to us, not those fantastic, "I returned from heaven and I got something to tell you," and they write books. Have you read those books? Quite a number in circulation. Oh, they say, "I died and I came to a strange place," but it was very bright, and then they begin to tell fantastic stories. Dear friends, trust not in those things. For the one who was brought to heaven, translated into third heaven, the Apostle Paul, came back. What did he say? I'm sorry, my mouth is sealed. Yes, I cannot tell you the things, the wonderful things that I saw and heard. So let us turn to God's book. I've had my chairman read to you this account of heaven, what it is. But let's come down to earth and think of one who was called to tread the way to heaven. The first one who was called, you know who he is, of course. Abraham. Please turn to Genesis chapter 12. This is an exciting story of the first man who was called. What do you know about Abraham? Well, we know he is the originator and the father of all the Jews. And you know something about the Jews? No people like the Jews. And no person like Abraham. Chapter 12 of Genesis, at the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, And here we are going to get to grips with real life. Abraham is a historic figure, not imagination, not somebody who came back from the dead and then tell us fantastic stories. Verse 1 says, the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, your relatives, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I said, this is really fantastic. Because this old man, he was 75 and he left his home. Don't you think the relatives or neighbors would say, hey, Abraham, where are you going? And what will he say? I don't know. They say, what a fool. But God's word says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness on that account alone. Why do you come here today? Because you believe in God. Yes, that is the only qualification for all of us who believe. For without faith it is impossible to please God. And God gave Abraham the faith and he followed to a land. When he arrived in the land, it was not exciting. I can tell you this. Have you been to the Holy Land? 1992 I was there. And I say the color of the land is brown. Brown to dark brown to black. Everything is so dry and so foreboding. What a land, says Abraham. Is this what you want me to inherit as the land? No. God had better things for him than Palestine. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, as I mentioned just now. The book of chapter of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 8 to 10 and 13. Alright? Let's look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should afterwards receive for inheritance, obeyed. Oh dear friends, please every day pray for faith to obey. When I was 6, my parents sent me away from home. Say, you go to Singapore. We were living in Malaysia. And they said, you have to go to Singapore, the center of learning. And there I went to live with grandfather. How many of you grew up with grandfather? And grandfather was a pastor. He was my pastor, of course. And the first day he called me to him and he said something I'd never forget in my life. Grandson, he said, I look at him, he looks like Abraham to me. So old. And he told me one thing, and I'm going to tell you the same thing. Pray for faith. Wow. At 6 years old, what do you understand about faith? Not much. He says, grandson, don't worry. You just pray. Pray for in your heart, it is something good. And when you pray, God will give you faith to believe. Not just to believe, but to translate that belief into obedience. Abraham did just that and he inherited heaven. The first man to see heaven, he said, did he really? Read on, please. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should afterwards receive for the inheritance, obeyed. Oh, dear friends, whenever you know it is God's word, thank God for that word. You know that we have a God who communicates. And for that reason, I think it was one of the causes why Abraham forsook his home, his homeland, his parents, his relatives. For he came from an idolatrous home. They worship idols. How sad. But it is so that most of our Chinese families who came from China came from idolatrous background. My grandfather and his family and parents, they were all idol worshippers until they heard one missionary from Scotland called William Chalmers Burns, a colleague of the famed Murray McChain. All of you have heard of the name. And there in China, Sua Tao, he heard this Englishman, a Scotsman, with pigtail and cheong sam, preaching about Jesus. He heard and he obeyed and he believed and he got saved. And from that day, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But there were idols. What did they do with the idols? My father always said, they tied strings to the idols and dragged them around as toys. And the neighbors say, this Tau family is going to be extinct. How they abuse their household gods. Well, I say, possibly. Abraham was quite disillusioned with the idols in the house of his father. Have eyes but see not, ears that hear not, mouth that speak not, hands that handle not, feet that don't move. And all the time they sit there. When there was a flood in our church in Singapore, some of you know where it is, Gilstead Road. And the flood was quite high, and then we went to rescue one family. And before he came with us, he says, wait, my idol is floating away. He said, I thought you kept idols to save you, now you've got to save the idol. So this is the problem with our idol-worshipping Chinese people. But God saved grandfather, and God saved Abraham. Abraham, follow me. So that's how we all began to be Christians, isn't it? We heard the gospel, said, follow me. I am going to lead you to the heavenly home. Your home is not on earth. Dear friends, the story of Abraham has got rich lessons for all of us. When he went there, he saw, what is it that God has called me to leave Mesopotamia, the modern Iraq, the most fertile land in the Middle East, to leave there for this? That's not a fair exchange. But God says, no. Our home is not on earth. No matter how good you have it on the earth, material things, lovely family, good job, prospects, everything, and money, no end of it. You know, Singapore has become one of the richest countries in the world. In the 50 years under our M.M. Lee, the wealth of Singapore has multiplied 100 times. I got this from internet, so I'm not telling you my own imagination. People become so rich nowadays. Do you know one square foot of apartment is $4,000? One square foot? Like this. I'm talking of the top of the range. And the cheap ones, 500 to 1,000. Oh dear friends, do these things satisfy our innermost longings? If I live in the best apartment, have the best opportunity, and have $1 million to your account, $10 million, $100 million. Singapore now is in the billionaire class. Amazing. Do these things satisfy? Answer is no. When you come face to face with death and sickness, and mind you, these things are not far away. Don't say, I'm young and healthy. You're young and healthy for a short passing day only. Before you know it, you'll be like me. Yes. And suddenly you come to the end of the journey and you say, what next? Think. Heaven is your home. No place like home. And until you have found that destination, be assured of it, you have not found life yet. Oh, dear friends, so let's see what happened to Abraham. Verse 9. By faith, Abraham sojourned the land of promise. This is the land of Palestine today. That is the land of conflict and warfare. No peace. Do you know? The people who are fighting each other are blood brothers. Amazing. Trace them back. Abraham had two sons. Ishmael and Isaac, one was a son of the flesh, one of the son of promise, but they were out of two mothers. Then comes to the next one. Isaac had a wife who got twins. You remember the story, and Rebecca says, "Oh, what is happening in my tummy? Every day there's a commotion. Went to the Lord, and the Lord says, "Hey, Rebecca, you're having two nations inside your tummy. You've got twins. Arab and Jews. And that is why this problem is so insoluble today. It's a family feud, and you cannot have a third party to come and make peace. America has been trying to make peace for the last 50 years. Have they progressed? A little bit. But you gain 1 foot, you go back 1 foot. All the time is like that. The latest now, Obama, he's trying to make them shake hands. Right hand shake hands, left hand carrying a bomb. So this is the problem. Now, by faith, Abraham arrived in the home, in the land of Palestine. And what did he do? It was a strange country. And God showed to him, Abraham, actually, you are in this land, I give you this land. But the ultimate promise and your inheritance is not here. You will get this land, no doubt. Your earthly family will get this land. But your home is beyond the sky. Where does it say so? Verse 13. Hebrews 11, and this applies to you and to me. When I talk of heaven, this is what we mean by it. All these died in faith. Ah, dear friends. If there is one prayer you'd like to pray from today, Lord, may I die in faith. Meaning to say you have Jesus as your Savior, and you are serving Him, you are following Him, you are obeying Him, until the very end of life, you still hang on and cling on to Jesus Christ. That is, you die in faith. Makes a whole lot of difference, you know. I was reading the Straits Times last week. All of you Singaporeans will know. M.M. Lee lost his wife, like I lost mine 5 months ago. And there he was at the coffin, looking down at the wife of 60 years. And he says, "I'm filled with grief and sorrow because all we have ahead of us is that one day our ashes will be kept together in urns. As we were in life, we'll be so in death. Bottles of ashes put together, and that is the only hope they have." Oh, dear friends, I'm not saying anything uncomplimentary. I'm just telling you a hard fact. Yeah. He has done the greatest favor to all Singaporeans in 50 years. Now, Abraham has done us the greatest favor to show us the example of one man of faith. Verse 13. He died in faith. The faith of obeying God out of his home in Mesopotamia to come to Palestine and to follow a person and a voice. Do you know that Jesus called Abraham? Who called Abraham? Yes, sometimes we wonder. When you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8, it is said there, verse 56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad that I called him. Because from that day his whole life changed. If you have not come to Jesus to receive him as your personal and everlasting and permanent Savior, please do so today. Because this is on offer. You know what is on offer? Oh dear friends, we like to see offers. Special discount, buy one, get one free. That kind of thing. This one you don't have to buy one. You just come and receive it free. Heaven is free for you only by faith, believing in the giver of heaven, the one who offers you this free. You cannot pay money for it. You cannot work for it. You cannot do anything to get it except one thing. Believe it. Just believe the offer from the donor, and the donor is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, come follow me. If there is anyone who has not yet committed himself to the Lord Jesus, do so today. This is on offer. Jesus came to open us the way to having a home in the everlasting kingdom. Alright, now back to verse 13. All these died in faith. Who were they, all these? Abraham, wife Sarah, then his son Isaac, and the other sons, Jacob, and all the 12. All these died in faith, believing God, but having not received the promises. While they were alive on earth, did they receive the land of promise? Not the physical Canaan, not the physical Palestine, but Canaan above. Dear friends, set your heart and your mind on that inheritance above. This earth will pass away. If you sink all your hopes and your aspirations and your love on things on earth, whether here or in Singapore or anywhere else, take your pick. Yes. Which country do you think is the best? You think America is the best? Americans come to Singapore and they don't want to go back. So which is the best? No place is the best. But you must set your heart and your affection on the best, the only one. And then you may can die. You can die in faith, satisfied that you have a place in the land that passes not away, in a home that will be forever and ever. And when you arrive there, you say, it was worth it. Worth my believing and taking Jesus as my Savior. Worth my praying for faith as a child. Because that faith sees you through until you arrive at the heaven, the home. Alright, verse 13. Having received the promises. Not having received the promises on earth, but having seen them afar off. They say, how do I see heaven afar off? By faith. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I see it afar. This is how you exercise your faith. Simply because Jesus told you. Do you have that faith? This is what Jesus says. I go and prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So, Abraham believed, and he saw his home afar off. I said, today you see that home afar off by faith, simply because Jesus, who came from there, promised you that home. He says, I will die for you, but I will rise from the dead for you. Now, on that hinges all our hopes. Do you know that? For if Jesus died and never rose again, all our faith is dashed to nothing. The one who promised died and he rots away. And this is what many of his enemies try to prove nowadays. Oh, we've discovered the grave of Jesus Christ. If so, then Christianity is finished. Praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead with infallible proofs and witnesses, eyewitnesses. There was a lawyer from London called Morrison. His first name. I've forgotten. He wrote, he says, I am going to debunk this talk of resurrection. I will debunk it with my lawyer's training and experience in evidence in law. And he searched all the literature, the Gospels, any other literature, and he wrote a book, Who Moved the Stone? And in the end, he concluded, there is nothing that can shake the evidence that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. On that alone hinges the whole promise that there is a heaven. Jesus says, what can you know about heaven? Except I tell you. Because I came from there. On earth, who can know anything about heaven? Because you've never been there. So Jesus says, in his word, I have not seen, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love him. How do you love him? How do you show that you love him? Remember him, remember his day, remember his death at the table, and then, like Abraham, you are going to see it. I see it in my mind's eye. Yes, today I think of it more often, because I'm waiting for the day when I can go there myself to meet all my loved ones who have gone before. Do you have that hope? How sad if your only hope is that one day our ashes can be put together in bottles. No, dear friends, Jesus did not promise that I'll get you to be together as ashes. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And when he has done that, he says, I will come again next week. I shall be preaching on Jesus returning. That is part two of my message. If you are minded to come, bring a friend. Then together we can consider Jesus returning. What are the evidences? I'll leave it until next week. So many evidences, so many happenings that say, look, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. It's said so in the Word of God. And today we thank him that he is gone to prepare a place for us. And that place is yours, heaven. Better than anything you can have on earth. So here we conclude with this verse. And he saw them afar off, and was persuaded of them, and embraced them, embraced all these promises, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and this is exactly what we are. I told people, you are so happy you become PR of Singapore. I say, that is the greatest deception. Nobody is a PR of anywhere. All of us here are TRs, temporary resident. Before you know it, you pack up and go. You know that, of course. But don't pretend that you don't know. And live that as though you're going to be here forever. You are not going to be here forever. You own a billion. What do you do with a billion when you're 100 years old? Let me ask you. Do you think of going to around the world? Going to all kinds of wonderful places? No, you don't. You wonder, what will happen to my billion when I'm not here? Or where will I go? What will happen to me? No use of talking of ashes. No, I have a home. And that home is prepared for prepared people. Dear friends, come to Jesus. Make him your friend, your Savior, your Master, your Lord. Every day you are going to rejoice when you know Jesus as your Savior and hope. Because he is alive. And he lives on in your heart. By his word, by his promises, by all the signs that he sends through the happenings on earth to tell you just one thing. I'm coming again for you. For you. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and for you, that you may be with me in that place prepared. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, bless the preaching of your word. Bless us with faith to believe the words of everlasting life and everlasting truth, that we may know we have a Savior who saves to the uttermost, whose every word is yea and amen. Bless your people, grant us faith that passes all understanding. Now, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us, and thank Thee for Thy table broken, prepared for us, for the body of Jesus broken for us, and His blood shed for us. Lord, as we come to the table, prepare our hearts to receive Thee. Renew Thy love in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.